Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
And our text number during the programme for listeners is 087 08 44 500. We'd really love to hear from you. You can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com. Just to say, we'd really love to have feedback from listeners. This is just our third programme and we're still not sure who's listening in. I am particularly curious, for example, to know if we picked up any of John Manning's very loyal following. John was broadcasting a different time slot, Sunday afternoons, for about 15 years. And John was very keen, as you know, that the God Talk programme would continue. We've a different slot, so I'd love to know if any of John's listeners are out there listening to us. And the other thing to say is we're planning to do a tribute programme to John over the next few weeks. We're lining up a few of his friends
right.
to come in.
Coming up shortly. Right? Mm-hmm. We have a few ideas on that and greatly looking forward to it, because really John is a great pioneer in terms of Christian radio in Ireland, just to get that simple message out. And as you said previously, John took no prisoners. He always cut straight to the point, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, Paul, it's true. A lot of time when you mention the word Christian, what triggers in people's brain is religious. Isn't that right?
Yeah, because almost everybody
think you're religious
has just,
or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of baggage there. And yeah. I know I'm not great at coming out there and saying, well, I'm a Christian or I believe in Jesus. Because they're going to say, oh, write this fellow off. You know, this is another head case, you know.
Yeah.
We know your type, these religious nuts. Uh-huh. And as somebody said a long time ago, God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts.
Never heard that one before.
Well, no. It's an oldie.
You
it's
heard
before
it first
your time.
90.3 Near FM. Yeah, it's remarkable, really. I think a lot of people focus in on this idea that it's religious because they suddenly feel a compulsion to go and do something themselves. You know, mm-hmm. and what I mean by that is they feel like, I'm not a great person, so let's pull up my socks and try harder. But I think the essence of the gospel, and it's something we want to always communicate in this program, is that it's not do, it's done. Meaning mm-hmm. that somebody did it for you. Now, it means that once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you can have a new life. And out of that, you know, you can do the right thing. But it's not like a scorecard up in the gates of heaven. You know, mm-hmm. did you do more good stuff than bad stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that we're going to be idle. It's the scripture says, in fact, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. So mm-hmm. the work of salvation comes first. God comes, does a work in us, and then we naturally want to give thanks. We want to do good works. We want to do what pleases him.
Yeah.
Not to win his favour, because we already have that. That's grace.
Yeah, well, look, do you know what? We've got a real treat today, because somebody who's joined our team is our roving reporter, Jim McGuire. And Jim was out on the street at the weekend, and he was talking to people, and he was asking them a few questions, and I think this is really interesting stuff.
Your name is?
Leah.
Leah, good to meet you, Leah.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Jim. Do you believe in God?
I don't know.
We'll say that's a no. What are the main reasons that you have doubts about the existence of God?
I don't know. This is also philosophical.
Maybe
I'm not the right person to be talking to.
That one.
Okay, let's say you do believe in God. How would you describe God in your mind?
I suppose it's... I don't know.
Someone like your mother, maybe. Someone good.
No. I would say it's more of a force, you know what I mean? Or it's something that's, in all of us, you know? I don't know.
The force of God.
Yeah.
What does this God... What does he expect of you? Of the community?
Heart, I suppose, and to do to do right things, I suppose.
To do good.
Or to do right by you and stuff.
Yes.
I don't know, yeah.
Personally, how are you doing? How are you meeting those expectations before God? In a scale we'll say of 1 to 10. And don't say 11.
5. I'm in the middle.
Okay, you're in the middle. Yes. Would I say you're sometimes good and you're sometimes not good?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Do you believe in heaven?
That's a tricky one. Not really. Kind of, but not really.
Okay. That means somehow there's no hell, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. So, where will you go then, in that case?
It's again a really, really difficult question.
Into a box, eh?
Not necessarily. I mean, we're energy, and so I don't believe that.
Going back to what you said.
The physical part of us dies. I don't believe that it's the end, but I don't necessarily believe in a heaven the way.
Okay, that's
taught. Heaven, yeah. Yeah.
Going back to, you said God was a force, so you say there's some, you're talking about the energy coming from that force.
Yeah.
Is that the way you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't know where you will go then?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I definitely don't have all the answers.
All right. Would you like to know what the Bible says about these questions? You think you might find answers in the Bible?
I don't know. I've never read it.
Okay. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Wow, interesting stuff there.
It certainly was a very interesting interview. In many ways, it's typical.
I was just going to ask you that. Would you, because you've done some of this before, Anthony, would you say that's a fairly typical interview?
It is quite typical. Obviously, she put different phrases on things, but...
And in what way? What way is it typical?
Well, it's typical. Well, first of all, she said, and she must have said it a lot of times, you know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Mm. And it's because people don't ask these questions very often. And but then when she starts describing God, she talks about him as more of a force.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, the interviewer, said to her, well, is he like your mother, you know, like a good person sort of thing? And she immediately said, no.
So it's really, it's impersonal, isn't it?
Impersonal.
It's interesting too, because when you talked about herself, you know, where she went after death and so on, she said, well, we're energy. So it's about force, it's about energy. And I noticed that there was a lack of anything personal. There was no expectation of any kind of a personal God behind the universe, behind creation, behind ourselves, or in the future. That was no question I was going to meet a personal God.
Yeah. Well, look, she sounded like a lovely lady. She really did. And, mm-hmm. and I have to say...
And a brave one to answer Tim's question.
Goes on air and speaks is mm-hmm. brave. follow your heart is something she said, you know, and I felt like that's a very common thing people do say, you know, like whatever feels right for you, you do it. You know, it's in a sense, it's you're your own judge. You set your own standards, your own morals. You know, morals are not defined by others. They're not defined by God or the Bible or nothing.
Yeah, but you know, Anthony... Something occurred to me when she said that. I said, you know, there's actually a good grain of truth in that, because the whole purpose, when we read our Bible, God's promise was a new covenant, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going back Old Testament times. Mm. But he promised he'd give people a new heart. Okay.
That's good, yeah.
So I said to myself, well, she's not so far off as we might think.
Yeah.
That if you have the new heart, you can follow it and you're going to be okay. Augustine, the great Saint Augustine, said, love and do what you will. Meaning if you love God, if you have the true love of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, follow your heart isn't such a bad advice, but that's provided you have the new heart.
That's provided, because you can follow a good heart or you can follow a bad heart. Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously following a good heart is good. Her score too, score she gave herself, 5 out of 10, you know,
mm-hmm.
typical, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. it, most people know that they're not perfect.
We did listen to another interview in preparing for the program today, and there was one guy giving himself 10 out of 10.
He corrected that. He said 11 out of 10.
Well, Jim had said you can't give 11.
Yeah.
But I don't think many of us would even give 5. I think the further I go, the lower my score goes in terms of my own performance, you know.
But Paul, coming back to the thing where she suggests that we are energy, you know, and that God mm-hmm. is just a force, et cetera, et cetera. I see that very much as an Eastern religion, pantheistic sort of view.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got to be careful not to use big words like pantheistic.
Okay, no.
But it means that God is in everything. God is like, he's in the chair, he's in the wood, he's in you, he's in the trees. And I kind of, I have a problem with that, to be blunt. You know, I do believe in a creator and a creation. Like, I work as an architect. I design buildings. There'd be a building out there I might have designed. But here's the point. I am not that building. Mm-hmm. And that building is not me. And I've had things I've designed years ago that have since been demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks your heart, of course.
But, yeah, sure.
But the point is, I didn't die the minute they were demolished. I'm separate to the thing that I might have been involved in creating. Same way an artist paints a painting. Somebody steals the painting, the artist doesn't drop dead. They're different. Same way God is not intertwined with what he made the way a lot of people believe he is. And yet pantheism sort of talks about that. And it's by extension, it says we are gods. And Jesus was different. He wouldn't have come to this planet if we were all gods and we could all set our own rules and kind of charge our own way into heaven or something. There's an interesting particular way to get us there.
It's an interesting relationship because the pantheist says that somehow God is in everything, and in some ways then everything is almost divine in a certain sense. And again, like most mistakes, like most errors, like most heresies, there's a tiny grain of truth in that, because of course everything was made by God. We believe that in that sense God is in everything. We look at everything, we can see the handiwork of God. Just as somebody might look at your work and say, oh, that's a typical, that's a real Anthony Brabazon design, I recognise that design.
Yeah, but Paul, you got to distinguish, because it might have my fingerprints on it. And creation and nature has the fingerprints of God, the same way destruction and misery and death have the fingerprints of the enemy on it. But, you know, the point about it is they are not God.
No. And there's another interesting point, because your works can continue. I mean, if you died, and hope you have a long race to go yet,
whatever.
But when you die, your work will still be there. In other words, you're not needed to keep it going. Those houses continue independently of you. But the scripture says, I'm just looking at the letter to the Hebrews, it says, God has spoken to us through a son. It says, through whom he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God. And it says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power.
That's wild.
He upholds the universe. So that's the difference. You, the architect, your buildings continue, even if you go away and take a break. But the scripture says that nothing could continue for existence. My heart couldn't continue beating. The waves couldn't continue beating the seashore if God somehow took his mind or his eye off them. In other words, he keeps them going as well. So he's not just the creator, he's the sustainer.
I'll tell you more than that. If you look at the nucleus of an atom, it's got protons packed in tight with neutrons. And why do they stick together? They're supposed to blow apart. But he holds all things together by the power of his word. I firmly believe that if God withdrew his grace from a regular stone on the street, it would become a nuclear bomb. It would just blow up. And that's the... People say, oh, God's not involved in our world. And he is, you know. And in a very dramatic and powerful way, when you think he holds it all together. Now listen, you thought you were going to get away with this and you're
not. Okay, I wanted to keep this conversation going. I have more stuff lined up on this.
Well, yeah, right. But we got the spring, you know.
I thought we were getting away with that this week, because last week you gave me two very difficult verses. You gave me a wrong reference number for one. The week before that, you gave me a half a sentence.
Well,
come on now, give us a break. Give me a break.
I'm giving you an easy one here.
Okay.
So here we go.
Let's see what you mean by an easy one. Okay, off you go.
The spring. Right, Paul, you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
This is out of the Bible. It's Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and going down to 44. It says, "And a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you're willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning." This is what I'm going to put to you, Paul. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them."
So what's the test? The fact that he warned him?
Why did Jesus, who had done an amazing miracle, heal the leper and told him, shut up about it?
Yeah. Just before I get to that, just want to say one other thing. We talked a few weeks ago about prayers. And Jesus, I remember, rebuked the Pharisees for making long prayers. And we remarked, if you remember, that the prayers that seem to be answered best in the Bible and most frequently are the really short ones.
Yeah.
And I actually gave this one as an example, the one saying, "If you will, you can make me clean." And leprosy is often taken and understood as a kind of a picture of the corruption that's in mankind. So whereas there's wanting the physical healing from the disease of leprosy, there's also wanting another kind of cleansing. But to answer your hard question, why did he not want anyone to know? The scholars, the scripture scholars, looking at Mark's gospel in particular, refer to this as the messianic secret. In other words, he didn't want the news out too soon. He didn't want to be mobbed by people. And if you remember, it says in the same chapter, it says the devils even knew who he was. In fact, they were the first ones who knew. Earlier in the same chapter of Mark, Jesus is in the synagogue and this man shouts out, man possessed by a demon, who are you? You've come to torment us before the time.
It's not wild, yeah.
Yeah, but they actually recognized him. So Jesus, remember he said in the Gospel of John, he said, my time has not yet come. So there was a time for him to be more publicly known and recognized, and it wasn't yet. So I suppose he was trying to put some control. He didn't want to be mobbed and to be taken away and made a king or made a leader. So in other words, he wanted to be in control of his revelation to the people.
So you're saying it's a question of timing, really?
Timing, yes. You know. Because the scripture says there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So at the moment, it's still a kind of a secret that the great majority of people out there still don't recognize Jesus as who he really is.
Well, you may recall, you're probably still traumatized from my last week one I gave you, because I gave you the two scriptures, one which said, beat your sword into plowshares, and the other
and
one which said, beat your
opposite.
Plowshares into swords.
Yes, I'm not forgetting that.
And going to hold that against me. Yeah, very good.
No, forgiveness is the name of the game, Anthony.
Absolutely. That's what this program is about, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And you know, forgiveness is, I'm going to say a very 10-second thing on forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is an imperative. And the foundation of it is the fact that every listener and ourselves, Paul and myself, we've been forgiven. That Jesus forgave us. That he took on all of our sins. And because we've been forgiven, we get to extend it to others. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened, and I know this atrocious things happen to lots of people, and people mm-hmm. can feel bitter about it, but you know what? Forgiveness is a non-negotiable issue.
Absolutely. You know? And I think, you know, we're going to do a program about that. In fact, we have a few programs lined up on, because it's the biggie, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody you meet, there's somebody they can't forgive, some wrong has been done to them, and they just can't get around. And that's true kind of in the political realm. I look at certain prominent politicians and I can explain their behavior in some cases by things that have been done to them. And to their families.
That's right.
And they just can't get beyond it. And that's understandable from a human point of view.
But it's a real blessing when you meet someone who is all continually forgiving people. You know, it's like they're walking around without baggage, mm-hmm. you know, and they're just lovely people. You just want to be around these people, you know, because they're not carrying grudges and, mm-hmm. and bitterness and gripes. Anyway, Paul, we've got to have to move fast because this clock, I don't know what batteries they put in it today, but it's going twice as fast as it did last week. And what we're going to do is we wrap up our program with a music piece, but before that we have a really good piece where Paul, you're going to give us a prayer, you're going to talk about it in a second, but I'm going to talk about the music piece because it's a piece from Johnny Cash, and it's called I Came to Believe.
Good.
It's one of the latter songs he did at the end of his career, and Johnny Cash was a man of faith, and he sang lots of songs, secular songs, Christian songs, all sorts. But, you know, there's a genuineness about these words when he sings, I came to believe. He's talking about his conversion when he came to Jesus Christ. But that's after a prayer you have for
okay.
us. And where do you get your prayers?
Okay, good question.
Is there a special prayer book?
There is a special prayer book. I've been using the best prayer book, which is Jesus's prayer book. And called the Book of Psalms. It's in the middle of the Bible. If you open your Bible, just let it fall open halfway. It's about the middle. And it's interesting, when Jesus was on the cross, his prayer was straight from one of the Psalms, Psalm 22, verse 1. So his dying on the cross, crying out to his Father, he used instinctively a word from one of the Psalms because he had been praying the Psalms and had memorized them from childhood. Okay, so I'm encouraging listeners to look at Psalm 25, and maybe listeners might like to open their own Bible either with me now if they have one, or else maybe afterwards, and I'll repeat it at the end. Here we go. Here's our prayer. Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, no one who waits for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercies, O Lord, and your steadfast love. They have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Psalm 25.